Condemnation of unbelief this morning, the condemnation of unbelief in 2 Kings chapter 7, also would be in chapter 6 and chapter 7. It's kind of a long story, as I should say, but it takes chapter 6 and chapter 7 to bring it into focus. You know, I generally take about two or three verses of scriptures in 30 or 45 minutes and I'll be through, but I chose this morning two chapters. The Lord knows when I'm going to be through this morning. But I'm sure if I go very long, I'll be here by myself. So I'll try to make it as easy on you as I can. But we're going to try with the Lord's help, because the Old Testament is such a beautiful, beautiful story. And also it tells us about Jesus Christ and many blessings that we can see for ourselves. Now, most of us have saw these little puzzles, I would guess you would call them. It'd be a drawing. In these little drawing, it would have some items in this drawing. And it says, can you find this needle in the haystack? And you look and you try to find this needle in this haystack. And they'll say, you know, can you find the bird in the tree? And you look, it's the drawing, and you look and you look and you look. And finally that you'll find it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have these pictures, hidden pictures inside this drawing. Well, that's what exactly each sermon is. But especially this sermon this morning. There are several things I want to show you, some items in this. It's very easy to detect, and you see them right off in this story about Elisha. And Elisha, he was a great prophet of God, and we find out how that the enemy had surrounded the city of Samaria, and people were starving to death. This is a story about two ladies also, that one of them killed their baby and they did eat, and the other was going to kill their baby and she went and hit her baby. So you know the story, you've heard it several times before. But in this picture drawing that I hope that I can draw before you this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, there's some things as you see these picture puzzles, and you can say, can you see the needle in the haystack? And you just pick that out just like that. It's just right there before your eyes and you can find that one. And then if you're not real careful, there'll be some items in that picture you have to look. And you have to look, and you have to look, and you have to look. And I don't really believe it's in there. I can't find it. And then someone else maybe will show you that item that's in that picture, and it just, they've been there for your eyes all the time. Well, I like to point out some items here, but as I go through this, I'm not going to point out all of them, but I'm going to point out a few of them in this picture. Now, this is the way the Spirit of God told me now to bring this sermon this morning in this item of these pictures. Now, I know as I begin to read this, I can't read two chapters, can't take two chapters, but you'll see that this is a great, great drawing of the Word of God by the Spirit of God for us to identify the things that's in this picture. As we begin to read and know the story, you find the serious situation. Now, the country was hungry. I mean, they were starving to death because they were surrounded. Now, that's one of the items that's in this picture. It was a very serious situation. People were starving to death, and they was eating one another's babies. Now, wouldn't you say, now, when you look at this picture, you can see this right off. It's easy for us to understand that there was a serious situation. There was a famine at that time, a physical famine, and people were starving to death. But also, it's a spiritual revelation. That's another item that I'd like to show you this morning, a spiritual revelation that a man of God, Elisha, said that they're going to be food enough. In fact, they're going to be a Walmart Blue Light special on food not many days from that forth. So it was a spiritual revelation that you might see in this picture. But not only that, you'll find some did not believe that. It was a sneering calculation. I don't believe one of them said that this can happen. Even though there was a real winter in heaven, and God was opening up that winter and began to pour out food, he says, this thing can never be. That's another item in this picture. I hope that you can see that. But then there's an item in this picture. It's a super demonstration, supernatural demonstration, how God done just exactly what God said he's going to do. Now, there's many small items I have not brought to your attention. I will bring to your attention if the time lasts. But now, there's some things that you need to understand. You may be in this picture. You may be one of the items in this picture this morning. And that item is the item of unbelief. That you do not believe that God will do exactly what God said he'll do. I mean, you do not believe God that do exactly what God said he'll do. I had a man here, you know, it was a sneering calculation. He did not believe that also. That may be hard for you to see. Unless the Holy Spirit of God puts his finger on that picture, that you might be able to see just exactly that item in that picture. And that item, you know what, is you. There's some things that you have not believed God about. There's things that we do in our life because the reason we do them, we do not believe God. Why does a person tell a lie? Because they don't believe that God's truth can bring them through it. Why does a person steal? Because they do not believe that God can support their needs. Why do a person play lotto? Because they do not believe that God will support every need they have without you gambling. So we don't believe the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God that He says, now, if you'll ask me, I forgive you your sins? If you're willing to repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ, my Son, for your sin, He said, I'll forgive you of all sins. I have the power of heaven and earth to forgive you all sins. And I will come into your heart, and He says, I will make all things new. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God can meet the needs of every need you have on your heart? Now, I know that somebody is sick. I know that, you know, the doctor says there's nothing else that we can do for you, but I'm telling you, God can meet your needs. There's that sin of unbelief. There's an item in the picture that I hope the Holy Spirit of God will point out to you, that there's a lot of us here this hour, in one way or another, we have this unbelief. And the unbelief will rob you from blessings. There's a thief, it's called unbelief. It'll rob you of success. It'll rob you of your blessings. Now, you see, if there's a person here this hour has never accepted Jesus Christ, and you will not accept Jesus Christ because you don't believe what God said He'd do for you, that thief of unbelief is going to rob you of the greatest blessings of the universe, and that is salvation. It's unbelief. If you don't believe that God can forgive you of every sin that you've ever sinned, and you try to get good enough to be saved, that is sin of unbelief, because you don't trust that God is on His way. Jesus Christ is on His way to heaven. And it says for you to come just like you are. I mean, we come just exactly in our sins if you would come. That is a sin of unbelief. If you will not come, you will miss out on the greatest blessing of the world. Success now is finding out what God's doing and getting in on it. It's finding God's directions in your life and joining Him. So God always has a plan. He has a plan for this world before it ever spoke into existence. He has a plan for the nation Israel. He has a plan for the Gentile nation. He has a plan called the church age, the bride of Christ. He has a plan called the great tribulation time here on this earth. He has a plan that's called the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. He has a plan after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It says, you know, they're going to be a great white throne judgment. And those who are lost going to be judged by that judgment. And then Jesus Christ is going to come, and they're going to rule forevermore, and time shall be no more. God has a plan. God has a plan for your life, and for you to live this plan as God planned out for your life. It'd be the happiest way that you could ever pick if you had sense enough to pick it. And to choose it is that plan that God's laid out for your life. It is an easy road to travel. Oh, yeah, we have some difficulty, but have always someone to go with us on this road. God has a plan for this world. God has a plan for this church. God knows the direction He wants us to go in. We just need to find out what direction God wants us to go and get in on it. What direction? Let us get in on it. God has a plan for your family. What would that plan be for your family? One plan would be for your family, for you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and worship Him. That is one of the main reasons that mankind is on the face of this earth. God desires our worship. God don't need our worship. He desires our worship. And He's made us in His image. He has made us with triune soul, spirit, and body. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are a triune person. He has made us with that spiritual consciousness that we might serve Almighty God. Almighty God desires our worship, and that's what God gave us a spirit for, that we might worship Him. That is the plan for your life. It is not the plan for your life to go and do anything and live any way you want to. As I explained it many times to you, whenever you are saved, you are bought with a price. Not the price of corruptible things, not the price of the blood of animals, but the price of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed blood, of that precious blood. You no longer belong to yourself. You no longer do what you want to do. You do what God tells you to do. It's either obedient or either it's disobedient. Remember, God has commanded us. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's a lot of people today that say they love Jesus Christ, but they're calling God a liar. They do not love Jesus Christ if they do not keep his commandments. He says, you know what? Do not forsake the assembling ourselves together as some such does. At the time we see the hour approaching. The hour approaching is a time of death. The hour is approaching is a time whenever Jesus Christ comes back for his church. And those that had a chance to be saved will never have another chance to be saved. They will be left to face the Antichrist, but he has a plan for your life that you might serve him and worship him all your life. This is a dress rehearsal of all heaven. I love to hear these beautiful songs. I love our choir. I love all the special and everybody that sings, and I wish that I could sing. But God has promised me one thing. Ray, I'm going to sing better than you when I get to heaven. Orville, I'm going to sing better than you when I get to heaven. You know why God's promised me that? Because he said the last shall be first. So I know that I'll be able to sing better than y'all can. I can't sing now, but that's God's plan for me. And I'm going to tell you, God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for each other. He's got a plan to hold your family together no matter what Satan wants to do to you. He's got a plan to hold your life together no matter what this world throws at you. I'm going to tell you what, when God sets the plan in motion, I'm going to tell you, when he sets his plans in motion, all the demons in hell and all the demons out of hell cannot stop it. Are you going to be in that blessing today? Are you going to receive that blessing? Because nothing can stop it. God set it in motion of this world, and just exactly as he wrote upon his word, everything is going to be fulfilled that's in his word of God. And just as sure he's told you that you are a child of God, you belong to me. He says, you know what? We don't yet appear what we shall be, but then we know whenever he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I don't know what I'm going to look like. I don't know what I'm going to be like except be like the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not recognize me then, but I believe that you'll recognize the Jesus Christ that's in me, because I will be a new person. I'll have the glorified body as Jesus Christ has his glorified body today. But I want to ask you a question. There's so many people today will not get in the blessings of the Lord. God's got a plan for them, but yet they sit at home and claim they love the Lord Jesus Christ. They sit at home and say, yes, I love you, Lord, and they never bring a tithe to help out the work of God, and they never come to sit on a pew, and yet they say I love Jesus Christ, yet I know whenever I die I'm going to heaven. I'm going to tell you what, no one knows that they're going to go to heaven if they don't have security that the Holy Spirit of God speaking to them and through the word of God. Just because they have done something here at this church, it's called church membership, just because they have been down this aisle, just because they've been through that water, do not mean that they're saved. I'm going to tell you what, I believe there's some people, and this is should be a sad statement, it is to me, but I believe there's some people, it's already in hell, it's been members of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I don't know who they are, but I believe possibly that could very well happen already in the past. And I believe in the future, if it keeps on going, I believe there'll be some people at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church will be in a place called hell. That is a sad thought. That is a sorrow thought. It's a thought to think about people is here at this church and a member of this church and would be lost. I'm going to tell you, church membership will not save you. You confess that you say that you love Jesus Christ. They confess that they know they're saved. They confess that they say they are saved and know they're on the way to heaven, but yet they do not live their life as they are a God. They live as a practical atheist. They live as they are no God. There's nothing that touches them. There's nothing that bothers them about the things of God. No people of God, no things of God, no word of God, no spirit of God, and yet they say that I know that I love my Lord Jesus Christ. If they love him, they love him in a very strange way that's not in the word of God that show that they love him. Well, in my message this day, as they see the setting coming along, there's some pictures that I like to draw. As you look at this picture, I hope that you'll understand and see the setting about this situation that we fixed to read in just a moment. And it's called Kings, 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 18, and I'll read and then we'll go into the setting of this sermon. And it says, 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 18. Now when it came to pass, as a man of God has spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and 1 measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gates of Samaria. Now remember what happened at this time, the history and the setting of this. the Samaritans. That was what called the Jewish people, the Samaritans. That was the Jewish people. That was a city there. We know they're in Palestine. But the Assyrian was the enemy. And the Assyrians, they went out to war, and they didn't have no tanks, and they didn't have no missiles, and they didn't have no airplanes to be able to take over the next company or the next group of people or the next village or the next kingdom. But what they would do, they would surround that city. Most cities would have walls on them, you know, like the walls of Jerusalem. Walls for protection, so that all the village would come inside the walls whenever the enemy would come up against that city. All of them would pull themselves inside the walls, and they shut the gates, and they put the armors upon the wall. And then the army would just sit out there for weeks and for months, and they wouldn't let nobody out. They wouldn't let nobody out. They wouldn't let nobody in. They would just sit there. And after a while, the water would run out. After a while, the food would run out. And they would begin to go hungry. This is exactly what happened to the nation there of Israel, called that little city called Samaria, because they were under besiege of the enemy. The enemy came and besieged that company. And they began to starve. Elisha now says, now there's a sin. There's a sin there, a terrible unbelief, because he said, now the tomorrow, about this time, after several people were starving, he said, they're going to be plenty to eat. People did not believe him. It was a very serious, serious time. But there's a sin now, a picture sin I'd like for you to show you of unbelief. If anybody sits here this hour, I hope the Holy Spirit of God points out it in your life. It might be a sin of unbelief because you're lost and you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It might be a sin of unbelief that you will not walk down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ into your heart. It might be unbelief that you will not follow him in church membership. It might be unbelief that you will not follow him through baptism as a picture of death and burial and resurrection of our Lord and Jesus Christ. It might be, you know, of unbelief that you will not trust him to meet your needs. It might be unbelief that you can't turn loose your job on Wednesday night, or you can't turn loose what you want to do in your pleasure activities and come and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him in a place where their true religion and the Word of God is spoken. It may be all types of things that you not believe that God can really trust God, that he can bring your family together. It might not be that you can trust God to meet all the needs that he said that he'll meet. You may be that you know unbelief that God cannot take your body and touch your body, and whatever you're going through, that he can give you the strength to go through it. Whatever it might be, a terrible sin is a sin of unbelief. It's a very terrible sin. It's a major sin. And sin, you know what? It's a sin that sends people to hell. This is the only sin that reasons people to hell this day, because a sin of unbelief. Oh, you say, what about murder? And how about murder? And how about rape? And how about robbery? And how about all these other things? All that Jesus Christ can forgive you for. Every sin that you can think of, Jesus Christ can forgive you. He forgave Moses, was a murderer, but you know what? He's in the Hall of Fame, and you know in chapter 11 of Hebrews. I mean, Samson killed his own self, but yet he's in the Hall of Fame of Hebrews. God can forgive anybody of murder. God can forgive anybody of rape. God can forgive anybody of stealing. God can forgive anybody of lying. God has the power on earth to forgive all sin. He has the power in heaven and earth, no matter what you have done this morning. But there is one sin that God cannot forgive. It is a mother's sin. It's the father's sin. It's the greatest sin of all sin. And it is a sin of unbelief. And that is the very reason why people's in hell today. It's the reason people is going to go to hell when they die, because they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the honest way. They do not believe that Jesus Christ has the power to forgive them. They think that they can be good and live good, and they hadn't killed nobody, and they've been a good mother and a good father. But I'm going to tell you, there are no good people in heaven. There's lost people in hell. And I'm going to tell you, they save people in heaven. It's not good or bad. It's saved or lost, and there's no other way. And this sin is called the unbelief. It is a very, very terrible sin. And I won't tell you, it's not the amount of sin that you have done. You might be an older person, and I'm going to tell you, the older you get, more sins just pile up upon you. But it's not the amount of sin that you've done. It's the fact that you are a sinner this day. It's no matter how much sin you have done, if you have rejected Jesus Christ in unbelief, you have put Jesus Christ in a spot that he cannot forgive you because you have not accepted him. It is a sin of unbelief. The most terrible sin in the world is this sin of unbelief. John chapter 3, 18 and 19 sums it all up for us in the New Testament. John says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, Why? Because he has not believed, a sin of unbelief, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the reason people will not come. They will not come because their deeds are evil. They will not come because their heart is evil. They do not want to give up their life, and they do not want to give up their heart and the things in their heart to come and worship and serve Jesus Christ. They do not want this light because it says that they are evil in their heart today. The unbelief, the father and mother of all sins. Now, we understand that Jesus Christ can forgive us of our sins. Now, we need to be fed by the Spirit of God by faith. Every one of us need to be fed by the Spirit of God by faith. But sin of unbelief will deprive us and cause us to have doubt of what God wants to give us and rob us of the rationality of things that God has given us, and it'd be a thief. Now, this simple message, this very simple message, remember this picture I'm holding up before you, is a very serious situation. And 2 Kings back in chapter 6 and 24 says, "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria." Sieged Samaria. Now, this is the history. As he took out the city to put him to starve to death, as I just told you, there's an enemy behind the scene. This enemy behind the scene is the same enemy behind the scene today, and it's called the devil. Now, whether you realize or not, the devil has a plan to hurt you. The devil has a plan to hurt you. Do y'all understand that? To sabotage you, he has a plan in each and every one of us. He has a plan to hurt your career. You think you're making career and you got a good career? I'm telling you what, Satan determines to tear up that career. We have a family. God puts family together. God is one that's created families. In the Garden of Eden, God instituted family, marriage to start with. That is from God. But Satan puts in to tear up your family. And what is he doing today around our world and our country? He's tearing up families today. He's tearing up marriages today. And not only that, you know what he's doing? He's tearing up churches today. Why? Because people get their eyes off of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what, when you start to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ, you start looking at me and looking at one another, you know what will happen? We'll find fault in one another because we all have faults in one another. But I'm going to tell you what, he is after us. Satan is in a real war, and he's really in war with God. Now, he's seeking out God, but he can't hit God, but what he can do is hammer on his children. That's what's happening to you. He can't reach God, but he can reach him through you. You know, that's the reason it's so important for us to have your kids in Sunday school and have your kids there on Wednesday night, and for you to be in Sunday school, get the word of God all you can to ward off the evils of the devil, because they're coming now. But I see this is a very, very dangerous situation. He's after you, and he's after your children this day. The enemy behind the scene, how it is whenever you give up a blessing, whenever you miss a service of the Lord, God has prepared a message. God has had the bread of life open before you, and you do not come. I'm going to tell you, you miss a blessing, because this blessing might be the very blessing that you need to ward off the devil the very next hour, the very next day, or the very next week that you need today. It was a very serious situation because Satan was in this situation. As you know, that Satan is after you because he's really after God. You are God's children today. You see on television sometime with these war lords over dope, and they begin to kill each other's family. You know, sometimes they can't get one that's really selling the dope or the kingpins of the dope, but what they will do, they'll take and kill their family, their whole family, because that's the know-how they get to them. That's the way old Satan is. He's after your children. Don't you understand that, mothers and fathers? Why would a mother and father not seek out the power and wisdom of here on Wednesday night? Why would a mother and a father not seek out for their family the word of God and the things of God and the people of God and the man of God here whenever the doors are open? Why would they do this? Why would they, as slack as they are, and go out and have and serve this world when Satan is after them? If they believe this, why don't they come to the house of God where they can get more energy? I'm telling you what, this situation was a very, very serious situation. Can you see that in this picture? And all of that situation, it brings time of hunger. In verse 6 and 25, "And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 4 pieces of silver and a 4th part of a dung of cow dung, dung of a dove dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, as you see this, a donkey head was served. That was a very expensive donkey head, about 60 pieces of silver or better for just a donkey's head. Well, a lot of you seen television, old Zimlin on television eats all kind of things. That made me think about when I looked at this. I don't want no donkey's head. I don't know about you. I don't want no goat head. I don't want no donkey head. But I'm telling you, if I get hungry enough, I would eat a donkey's head. Don't you tell me you wouldn't eat a donkey's head. You don't know what you'd eat if you got hungry enough. I'm telling you, you don't know what you'd eat. You see, mothers here today, man, I wouldn't ever eat my child. I wouldn't ever eat my child. What a terrible, horrible thing it is. You don't know what you'd do. You don't know what you'd do if you got hungry enough. It was a time of great hunger, a serious famine. Now, verses 26 through 29. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help me, O Lord of kings." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" And the king said unto her, "What allows thee? What you want me to do?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she went and hid him." This is the word of God. This is not no fairy tale. This is real of the word of God, that people were so hungry that they was willing to eat one another babies. I'm going to tell you, this was real. I'm going to tell you, it was a serious situation. Do you see that item in the picture this morning, that we're living in a very serious situation also? There is a famine in our land this day. Satan causes famine in the lands today. They were cannibalism because they were eating one another's babies. And I'm going to tell you, it stalks the streets today. Listen, Satan causes a famine today. Now, he don't cause a physical famine today as you might see it. There's not a lot of starvation right around us that we see it today, but you can turn on the television and tell us one half of the people of the world goes to bed hungry every day around the world. They need something to eat. There's a famine, a hungry famine around this world today. But in the U.S. today, we know on the major streets, in the major cities of our city today, we know that there are people that does starve to death. And the sanitary workers come to New York and all the big cities, and you know what they do? They just clean up every night of the morning. And they pick up people that's died on the streets. They just die because they starved to death or some other reason today. The United States, you know what we are? We are an island of plenty, but we're surrounded with an ocean of needs. We're an island of plenty, but we're surrounded with oceans of needs. We don't see this physical famine as many sees, that we have a famine this day. But Satan causes a different type of famine in our land today. And it's more of a difficult famine. This item that I'd like to show you, and it is a spiritual famine. He has called a spiritual famine. It is in the nation of Israel. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, "Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." God's going to do this. "A famine of not of bread and not of thirst for a water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." We have a famine this day. It's called by Satan, and it is because we do not want to hear the word of God. We don't want to hear what God has to say in his word. He says, "But I will send a famine." Do you know what's wrong with our country this day? Do you know what? It's not the politicians. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with our country today is the pulpits. I'm going to tell you, it's the Christians of our country today. They will not hear and listen to the word of God. They don't believe the word of God. I'm going to tell you what, if we believe what we say we believe, we will change our community. If we believe what we said we could believe, we would change America and how we pray for America. And we ought to keep praying for America. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take the word of God to change America. It's going to take the word of God to change this church. It'll take the word of God to change your family. It'll take the word of God to change your life. It is the word of God, but there's a famine among us today. God says, "I'll send a famine." I'm going to tell you what, we got the greatest famine of this country that we ever had before, because we do not believe the word of God tells us exactly like it is. And the people don't want to hear the word of God. They want to do what they want to do, but we are surrounded by a famine of the word of God. Satan has caused spiritual famine in our country this day. We don't want to hear the word of God. And if you don't hear the word of God, you can't know the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, you can't do the word of God, because what you believe is how you behave and how you act. The reason people behave and act like they do, because they don't know the word of God. They don't want to hear the word of God, because they know what the word of God will do them. You cannot keep the word of God in you and do what you want to do. You must do what God says for us to do. I'm going to tell you what, it was a deep famine. And this, see, back this same verse of scriptures, it was a very depraved diet that they was on. Did you see that picture? Look in that picture real close, because it was the depraved diet that was on. What you talking about, a depraved diet? They was eating a donkey head. A donkey was an unclean animal that God says you will not eat this animal. Even a time whenever you have plenty, you do not eat a donkey, because that's unclean animal. The people of the United States, you know what we have today? We have a famine. And this famine now is a depraved famine that we have. We on a depraved diet. We on a depraved diet now. We're feeding on materialism today. Whenever I think it's more important than going out and doing something and don't have time to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever Wednesday night comes and Sunday morning comes, do you prepare to have your people here at the church? Or is materialism that you're looking for? You think the more material thing that you get, the happier that you might be, but it's the other way around. I'm going to tell you, humanism that says, you know what, we can solve these problems. We don't need God. We got everything that we need. We're the most powerful nation in the world. Oh, we got a lot of problems, and I want you to know we can solve this problem. We'll get one party in the White House, and that'll do it. If we don't do it with that party, we get this party in the White House. I'm going to tell you what, when we solve the problems of this country, it won't come through Washington. It'll come through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I don't care what side you on. They ain't doing what God told them to do. All of them's wrong. It's time they changed. But you ain't never going to hear nobody stand up and say, I got the solution to the problem now in our country, it's sin. You'll never hear that. You'll never hear that. But that's exactly what the problem is. It's greed and it's sin. People are feeding now on humanism. People now are feeding there on this depraved diet there of materialism. Humanism, materialism. They're also feeding on a diet of luxuries and alcohol and dope. Everything that they can think of. They need to feed on the Word of God. They don't mind eating a donkey's head. No sirree, bring it on. Bring on this depraved diet. They don't mind eating it. They'll feed on the luxuries of this world. I mean, they'll feed on the dope of this world. I mean, they'll feed on materialism of this world. They'll feed on the pleasures of this world. It's nothing but donkey's heads. But they're glad to do it. I mean, they was glad to get a donkey's head to eat at that time because they had a depraved diet in a country that we're living in. There's many people today is glad to get a donkey's head for breakfast this morning rather than come and feed on the Word of God and with the people of God. There's people now is feeding on donkey head. Yes, if they're saved, they're out there, but they're not here where they ought to be, and they're feeding on a donkey's head this morning. Some diet or another that they're feeding on. But I'm going to tell you what, God gives us a diet that we might feed on. Have you ever eaten a big old juicy steak? I mean, I like mine rare, about that thick. I can't eat nothing now but cardboard and styrofoam. But anyway, I like a big old steak once in a while with baked potatoes and all the trimmings. Salad, and I'll just keep it. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? But after I get through eating my steak and my baked potato and my salad and everything, all the trimming goes with it, somebody bring me a donkey head. You want to bite a donkey head? No, I'm not interested. I'm satisfied. Amen? You're not going to want no donkey head and you filled up with a big old steak. Well, I want to tell you what, I'm satisfied. And if you be satisfied with the Word of God, these people claim to know Jesus Christ. They claim to know Jesus Christ. They claim to know Jesus Christ. They claim they're saved. They claim they're saved. And they're feeding on a donkey's head. Don't you know if they're feeding on the steak of the Word of God, the meat, they wouldn't be wanting no donkey head today. They would be here today eating steak. I'm going to tell you that it was a very depraved diet. And I'm going to tell you what, if you feed on the manner of Jesus Christ, all things of this world grows very dimly when the light of His glorious grace comes into view. Look at Jesus Christ, feast on the manner that came down out of heaven. And when you do, you won't eat the tin cans with the devil's billy goats when you feed on the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. Calvinism. So would we do that in modern day to day? Would we devour one another? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15. And I don't know how many pictures I'm going to show you. I hadn't showed you but one. Galatians 5 and 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Paul's talking to the Christians. Devour, bite, nibble. Devour one another. Remind me of two snakes I seen one time. One of them bit the other one on the tail. Another bit the next one on the tail and began to swallow each other. And I kept watching until after a while there weren't nothing there. Y'all figure that out, youngins. Devour one another. Would we do that in modern society that we're living in today? We're starving spiritually. World hunger for the Word of God. Lost people. There's so many lost people today. And I read an article there where Billy Graham had put out a little something. He said, you know, Billy Graham, if I could preach to 1 million people and put them in a stadium, you know, he reaches a lot of people, or did when he was younger. If there was 1 million people in a stadium and he could preach to 1 million people every day, it would take him 7 years preaching to 1 million people every day for 7 years just to get around for everybody to hear the gospel just one time. If lost people, percentages in this world today would stand toe to heel, they'd go around this world 36 times, toe to heel. And if you put them toe to heel, and you got in a car, and you drove by that line 50 miles an hour, it would take you 4 years and 40 days to drive past the line of lost people. And whenever you got through driving past that line, the people would be born, reach the age of accountability, by that time it would be another 70 miles, as fast as you could drive. But if you had 5,000 Christians would be willing to be soul winners, and they won just three people in a year, 1 year's time, that have 20,000. In 10 years, you can reach everybody for the Lord, just soul winning. We're in a time of a very, very difficult time. It's a time of hunger. It's a time of hunger in this picture that I drawed for you this morning. There's just only one thing that I showed you mostly, and that's a serious situation. As I said, I used to take one verse of Scripture, but this is two chapters. But I'd like for you to go home and study this spiritual revelation that God says there'll be food enough. And you'll find the man of this unbelief who says, no, I don't believe it. It can't happen if you open up the windows. And then you'll find that God says, you'll see it, old boy. One of the lords has said that leaned on the king, or the king leaned on him. He's one of the advisors. He said, this can't be true, Elisha. If God opened up the heavens and poured out blessings, this could not be. Well, Elisha said, I'll tell you what, you will see it, but you won't taste it. I'm telling you what, the day God says, I got a blessing for you, you can believe it and come down this aisle and be saved, or you can reject it and not. Because a blessing is spread all over this place right now. There's blessings here, just like there was blessings in the nation of Israel, and everybody could feast of it, except that one man of disbelief. He said, you can see it, but he says, you will never, ever taste it. And I'm telling you this day, there's blessings. If you want it, accept Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of him. He'll do what he says he'll do. If you're willing to make it down this aisle this day, I don't know, it might be for salvation, for church membership, but don't let unbelief rob you of your blessings. Don't let unbelief rob you of this blessings. God has drawn you a picture this morning. I know that I have not done justice. God forgive me. I have not done justice to this drawing, this diagram that God gave me to show you what really matters in life. There's so many of these items that I'd like to show you today, but I know the time will not prevent it from happening. But you see, the Holy Spirit is going to still work on you. So as we come with a song of invitation, if you want to do business for the Lord, and you really do believe that God says, I'll do just exactly what I promised you that I would do. If you believe that, I'm going to tell you what you need to start trusting him. Then you need to carry home to your family and your loved ones, and you need to explain it to them how to trust God. I hope that you see these images in this picture, and you yourself might be one of them. It might be there today, you're sitting there in unbelief. You have the fear that God will not take that fear away from you. You're ashamed to come to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Sir, I'll tell you one day, you'll stand. You'll stand before Jesus Christ, lost or saved, we're all going to stand for him. And you'll remember. You'll remember this day, if you're lost and you walk out without Jesus Christ and you die in your sins, you'll remember. There was another message that God laid on my heart. That was talking about hell. And now what will be in hell, there'll be a time of remembrance. And I'll tell you, you remember these songs that were sung. And you remember the scriptures that I read. Because the Spirit of God will let you know that you had a chance to be saved and you turned it down. You had a chance to move out and let people know that you love Jesus Christ. And you have rejected that by not coming forth. If we sing the song of the Orville.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood
was shed for me. Come follow Jesus Christ through baptism. That's identifying with Jesus Christ. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you accept Him in your heart, knowing that He'll save you if you ask Him, follow through with it to give you the power to keep living each day. As a child of God, yes, you need to be a church member. If you're saved, you need to join a church. A church that you might be able to work in. In glory Jesus Christ and everything He's gave you to do, because He's got a plan for your life. And a plan for your life is not breathing all God's air and eating all God's groceries, enjoying all God's pleasure on this earth. He did not put you here for that. Yes, He gave you blessing and all this, but the greatest thing that you might worship and serve Him as your God, as your Father. Abba, Father. I sure hate to close this service this day without someone coming forth. God spoke to your heart and you know you should be down this aisle. What is it, the sin of unbelief, the reason that you won't come? Is it a sin of fear that you won't come, believing God that can forgive you? What is the reason that you won't come down this aisle and follow Jesus Christ through baptism? You afraid what somebody might think about you? Well, I'm going to tell you, I hope you like me tonight, today. But it's not what you think about me that counts. It's what God knows about me that makes all the difference in the world. You better not worry about what people think about you, but what God knows about you in your life right now. Won't you come? Thank you. That's all I could say. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the convicting power of the Word of God. For the power to preach His word. And it says that my word will not come back void. It will accomplish what I sent it out to do. It will. You say, what about the people that's not here this hour? All it is, they're just building up wrath against them for not being here. I can assure you that right now. They not be here to hear the word of God, but the wrath of God is building against them right now. So God bless you, and we thank you this hour as you come back tonight for baptism.